and welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Carl Gerke. And coming up, get your lawn and garden questions ready. Norm Evers will join us later in the program. But first, we're going to spend some time talking with Troy Larson. He's the executive director of the Lewis and Clark Regional Water System. Troy, thanks for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday.
You bet. Great to be with you, Kara.
You know, when you said in your email that you were going to step away for the 25th anniversary annual meeting of the water system, it made me stop and think that covering, I think, the organizational meeting was one of my very first stories I ever covered as a young reporter in Worthington, Minnesota.
Wow.
So
that would be great to go back and see that story.
Well, you know, it was way before the internet, so I think it's long been deleted, and that's probably a good thing. This has been a long process, and Rock County just came online last week.
Yeah, that was our big announcement at our 25th annual meeting, was that on that very day, earlier on the 28th of May, Rock County Rural Water District began receiving water from Lewis and Clark. That is the 12th member to receive water, and the first in Minnesota. So we're finally serving water in Minnesota. But you're right, it's just been such a long time coming. When you were in Worthington so many years ago, you know, a lot of people thought it was pie in the sky. And I remember hearing a story of former legislator Andy Steensma was leaning over to the folks, telling them about this Lewis and Clark idea, and he was trying to sniff their breath to see if they were drinking, because he thought they were just crazy. The idea of bringing water from near Vermilion all the way over to southwest Minnesota and northwest Iowa, thought they were crazy or drinking. So, we've certainly overcome a lot of challenges along the way, but we still have a long way to go. We have 8 members that still need water. Laverne is the next one scheduled to be connected. They'll start receiving water in later this year, we believe December, depending on how quick the contractor is able to get work done. And so after that, we'll have 7 more members we need to get connected. So we're making good progress, but we're not at the finish line yet.
Now, you know, federal funding has been the main delay. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so are states and communities, are they just stepping in and contributing more just to get this done, or how is it working?
Sure. Well, what the 20 local members did first is they prepaid their share of the project. So think of it as a credit card. Instead of making the monthly payment and paying more in the long run because of interest, they said, okay, here's what we owe. We're going to pay it to you all now so that they saved on the inflation. In our case, it's not interest, it's inflation. And it allowed us to get more work done sooner. And so the states did the same thing. The 3 states prepaid 100% of their share of the project. So combined with the local members, that was $154 million that the 20 members in 3 states prepaid. And that just really helped jumpstart things. Well, everything else, though, from here on out is entirely dependent on federal funding. So that's the only money we have left. And as you mentioned, the federal funding simply hasn't come in at a level that makes any meaningful progress. In fact, it's barely covered inflation. In some years, it hasn't even covered inflation. And so what we've done is we've turned to the states and asked for what we call federal funding advances. And that is where the states provide us with a zero interest loan that will be paid back with future federal funding once all the members are connected. We know that eventually we're going to get the federal funding. It's just how long it's going to take, we have no idea. So we can't give the states any kind of idea of when the money's going to get paid back. And in South Dakota this past year, they provided a $7.7 million advance on top of the $1 million provided last year. So combined $8.7 million from South Dakota, and that's going to be enough to what we call wheel water to Madison. It's kind of complicated, and we can talk more if we have time, but it's a way to get Madison some water. And in Minnesota last year, they provided a $22 million advance, which is why we're able to connect Rock County and Laverne. And we're still working on trying to secure another advance this year from the state of Minnesota.
So you're piecemealing, basically. You can't just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, piecemeal is a good way to put it. I like calling it the Bucket Brigade. Using Madison as an example, what we're doing is that $8.7 million is going to allow us to build two of the five segments of the Madison service line, the northernmost segment and the southernmost segment. In between, we have a 32-mile gap. What we're going to be doing is Lewis and Clark is going to sell water to Minnehaha Community Water Corp, who in turn will sell water to Big Sioux Community Water, who in turn will sell it to Madison. It's not going to be Lewis and Clark water molecules that actually get to Madison, but it's just a way for one system to get more water and then the next system get more water. And what that allows us to do is wait for federal funding to build those middle 32 miles of pipe so that we're not burdening the state of South Dakota with another advance. And so we really appreciate Governor Dugard, the legislature, really helping us out with that piecemeal approach, as you call it.
And how, do you have a timeline for absolute completion of this?
You know, that's a good question. It's one we often get, unfortunately.
Or do you just keep changing your timeline?
It's completely up in the air depending on federal funding. And that's what is so frustrating, because the states and the local members have prepaid their share of the project. So in the case of Worthington or Madison, Sheldon, Iowa, Sibley, it's like buying a car, paying for it in full, but not being told when you can drive it. And so they have paid for something. They don't know when they're ever going to get it. And that is incredibly frustrating. But to give you some examples, if we hypothetically got $10 million a year, and to put that in perspective first, this past year we have gotten $9 million from the federal government. So if we hypothetically were to get $10 million a year, the project would not be completed until 2050. That's how far we are away from completion at just $10 million a year. And so we really need the federal government to make funding for projects like Lewis and Clark a priority. You know, the administration often talks about the need to invest in critical infrastructure. We don't know what's more critical than water. And here you have a scenario or a project where the members have stepped up to the plate, prepaid their share of the project, states have prepaid, and now the states are providing these advances. Boy, if that doesn't show support, I don't know what does. And so we really need the president to make rural water funding a higher priority. Our tri-state delegation has just done a tremendous job. They continue to go to bat for us, but it really hurts them when the president includes such low budget numbers to start. There's only so much lifting the delegation can do.
And then will it take regular, once it's completed, will it take regular federal dollars for upkeep to keep it all running, or does that all come from the state?
No, that is from the members who are buying the water.
Oh, okay.
We are including enough in our water rates to cover the operation. So there is no state or federal funding to operate the system. That is entirely self-sufficient. But it's a good question, because not all systems are like that. For example, the Minnewachone project in western South Dakota gets federal funding for operations. So some projects are set up that way, but Lewis and Clark is entirely self-sufficient in terms of the operations.
And how far is the project set back, or even in selling water, or determining who gets the water when we're in a drought cycle and those kinds of things? Or is there plenty?
Well, that is a consideration that we use of where are we going to go to next. You know, we have a general idea of the order that we're going to construct the project and what communities are going to be connected, but we also need to take into consideration extraordinary circumstances. For example, the city of Hull several years ago was facing some critical water shortages, and Hull's in northwest Iowa. And so what we did is we built our 9-mile stretch of pipeline between Sioux Center and Hull so that in the short term we could buy water from Sioux Center and resell it to Hull. And that because of that 9-mile stretch and the additional water that we're able to sell to Hull via Sioux Center, a large cheese factory located in Hull. And we have a letter from the factory manager as well as the mayor of Hull at the time saying, were it not for the Lewis and Clark water through what we're calling an emergency connection, that they would not have located in Hull. And so that cheese factory just has a tremendous impact on that area. They process 50 truckloads of milk a day. But here's the kicker. They want to expand their production. They want to double it to 100 truckloads of milk a day. Unfortunately, we can't get any more water from Sioux Center, so that's just how important it is to get that line to Hull. JBS is one of the largest pork processing facilities in the nation in Worthington. They have wanted to expand their production for many, many years, but can't until they get more water. And so we have all these success stories of economic development has taken place with Lewis and Clark, but you hate to hear about those stories where economic development is being curtailed because of the lack of water.
And so with this project 35 years out, I guess, is your estimate, right? Some communities run out of water, of the natural water, the aquifers that they're currently using? Is that a concern?
That is entirely possible. And right now, our most critical example is Worthington. They have been under severe water restrictions for the last 3 years. Their aquifer is simply not recharging from 1 year to the next because of the drought. Now, we've had some good rains recently, but they are very concerned about their long-term water supply. So can they hold out 35 years? No. There's just no scenario they can wait that long, which is why we're working with the state of Minnesota, on another advance to hopefully get all the way to Worthington. And in the meantime, something else that's happening is those non-connected members are needing to spend money on temporary fixes to buy themselves some time. For example, the non-connected members, the 8 non-connected members, have spent a total of $11.5 million in unplanned infrastructure expenses, and there's another $5.2 million planned for this year. Those dollars, again, don't replace the need for Lewis and Clark. It just buys them time. They maybe made fixes or upgrades to their infrastructure that they weren't planning to. In the case of Sheldon, they had to drill another well, which most people would say, well, that's good. They should have drilled another well. But they have such incredibly bad water. It's called a deep well, and the quality is really terrible, but they're mixing it with some of their other water. When Lewis and Clark arrives, they're gonna shut down that well. So that's an example of money being spent that is really wasted because when Lewis and Clark arrives, they won't need that well.
Plus, over time, the cost to build this continues to increase.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up that point. To help your listeners put this into perspective, the remaining federal cost share, what the federal government has committed to paying, was $194.3 million in 2010. That was what the federal government still owed to complete this project, $194.3 million. As of 2014, 4 years later, it had increased to $203 million. So that's an $8.7 million increase in that 4 years, which shows that the amounts being provided by the federal government wasn't even enough to cover inflation. So it's like having a loan and 4 years later going into the bank and finding out you've been making all these payments, but you now owe 4 years later more than you started with. And so that is a disservice to the taxpayers because it costs more in the long run. And it's also a double whammy for the taxpayers because we don't get the benefits of the economic development that could be taking place right now in Worthington, in Hall, et cetera. And so, you know, it costs more, and we're not seeing the economic benefits. So that's yet another reason we've turned to the states and tried to secure these advances and trying to keep construction moving forward.
And Laverne is next to come online, correct?
Yes, and they are very excited. That's a community that did some additional investing in infrastructure that they didn't need to, or they shouldn't have, because of the delay with Lewis and Clark, but they had no choice. And so, yes, this December is when Laverne is expected to get water, and I know they are looking forward to it very much. Laverne is going to blend the water with their existing sources. Most of our members are blending their water with our water, but there are some communities like Beersford, Centerville, and others that are what we call sole source, and that's where the only source of water is Lewis and Clark. Parker is another one, and so it really varies on how the members use the water.
Okay. Well, Troy, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday and giving us this update. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Great to be on with you. Take care, Kara.
Okay, thanks. You too. Troy Larson, Executive Director of Lewis and Clark Regional Water System. And when we come back, we'll talk with Creighton University Economics Professor Ernie Goss. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.